This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
When you have somebody pray like that, and you're going to preach, you better get down. You can laugh, it's okay. That is a mighty woman of God. Amen. I can tell you what you're hearing out of her mouth is someone that is deep into the most holy place on a daily basis. We call it second apartment experience. You have the outer court, the brazen altar and the laver. You go into the first apartment. You have the what? The menorah, the showbread. What else? The altar of incense. But when Yeshua died on the cross, the curtain was ripped down in twain and opened up the way to the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is the Holy of Holies. Sanctuary in Hebrew is the Mishkan. You're going to learn some Hebrew today. Do you want to? You better get ready because the Jews are coming. My people are coming, and they can be bad. They can be very obnoxious. I'm not. I used to be that way. Ellen White made a statement where she said, talking about the Jews coming in the books, Acts of the Apostles and Evangelism, she said, men like Paul, think about it, mighty in the scripture, are going to come to proclaim the immutability of God's law with power. Totally recall the Old Testament in any language under the sun. You don't have anybody like that now. No way. Shaul was his real name. They're going to come because when it all comes down, they're going to want to be with a people that worship on Shabbat. Oh, by the way, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. There you go. You're getting early, didn't get as much. Well, there's more people. Don't make me forget, okay? I'm going to be 81 Monday. It's not a big deal. I'm still as good looking as I was when I was 38. At 38 years old, I stopped in my mind. I said, I'm not getting any older. So you're looking at a 38-year-old, 81-year-old guy. Mentally. I stopped. You can do it. I stopped there. When I say Shabbat Shalom to you, you know, Adventism can be funny sometimes. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. What does that mean? Happy Sabbath. But when you say Shabbat Shalom and translate it to English, Shabbat means he rested and seventh and Sabbath. And then shalom is what? Peace. But it has seven different meanings to it, saints. It means peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, tranquility, and hello and goodbye. So when you say shalom, you're wishing all that towards the other person. Do you want peace? Do you want harmony? Do you want completeness, prosperity? Everybody wants that. Welfare and tranquility. When you go to Israel, when you meet them, they say, Shalom, Shalom. They're saying that to you. When they say goodbye to you, they say, Shalom, Shalom. Amen? Man, there's more people who are now elder. Do you like it up here when you come up here? I miss this. You got to let me come again someday. I've been tired. No pastor has ever brought me up here. He has. He likes me. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to blow the shofar, and I want you to close your eyes and imagine yourselves being brought to the sanctuary on Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement. This is a call to prayer. This is a call to battle. Amen? Close your eyes. If you look at me, I'm going to be nervous. I don't get nervous. Listen to the horn. Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. We honor you, we praise you in your holy Shabbat. I'm asking that you take me out of the picture completely, make me like a sheet of glass up here, grind it to the floor so they don't see me up here. Let them only hear and let them learn from Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, and the mighty Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall upon us now. Touch our minds, touch our hearts, touch our bodies, and teach us what you want us to understand in the next few moments in time. Pray with me, saints. We give you honor. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We end our prayer in the only way we can end our prayer in. Just follow me. Hashem, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Adonai, Sar Shalom. In the name of the Lord, the Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And everybody saying?
Amen.
Amen. You think this is light? That's a heavy thing right there. The title of the sermon is Ahava, which is love in Hebrew. So you're going to learn about love today. Ladies, there's three different words in Hebrew for love, but Ahava is the main word because when you translate Ahava to English, it means I give you love. Different than agape. Agape is nice, but it's unconditional. But Ahava is I give you love. And you and I cannot give this love to anybody unless you experience it in your heart. And when you experience Ahava in your heart, you begin to like yourself unselfishly in a Christ-like way. You actually love yourself. You know, a lot of doctors and psychiatrists and therapists talk about loving yourself. This is the only way to really love yourself. There's no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only way. I can tell you, 48 years a believer, he loves you. Ahava died on the cross. Died on that cross in Calvary. I've been to Israel a bunch of times and take you all over. But when you go to the tomb, there's two different places where they say that his tomb might have been. One's inside the wall in Jerusalem. The other one's outside, and it's right near Golgotha, is right above it. And when you go down and they let you in that tomb and you walk into that tomb, if you don't cry, if your breath is not taken away, You're just nuts. Your breath goes out of your body. And each time I've gone up there and down to the tomb, I can't breathe. You see, I love Jesus. I am passionately in love with him. Passionately. Do you love Jesus? Are you ready to die for Jesus daily? Because it's a daily death spiritually for us. We don't die, but we self-dies on a daily basis. Selfishness is the heading of every sin in life. Me, I want more money. Before I became a believer, I was working in Atlanta, Georgia as a hairstylist, ladies. And you can see Pastor Mike had a lot of girlfriends. I wasn't a Christian. Every nice one that went in there, I got them. I do their hair for free. It's true. Now, I didn't tell the first service this little story, but I'm going to share with you because there's more of you here. And one day, this young lady walked into the salon. She was 21 years old, and she was my appointment. Somebody sent her in for me. You can laugh, saints, this is a good story. And she had long hair down to her shoulders. And she sat in my chair. Now, Pastor Mike had a line. I would always ask the ladies when they sat in my chair, Pastor Rose, what can I do for you? And I waited to see what the answer was. Sometimes they didn't say anything. Sometimes they would say things. I was, oh, okay. Something's going to happen here. This is the 70s. You have no idea what the 70s were like. Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder. I saw them all. Stevie Wonder, Elvis, all of them. I saw them in person. The best music come from our black brothers. Sorry if there's white people here. I'm sorry. They're the best. They dance better. They got rhythm. You ever see a white person try to... It doesn't look good, does it? It's true. I didn't say this earlier, but it's coming to my mind. So she came in. Her name was Sharon. 21 years old. Gorgeous young girl. She sits in the chair. I said, what can I do for you? And she said to me, you're the professional. You just do it. And I got offended. Myself got insulted, right? And I said, okay. She said, I'm going to take a nap. And you do what's supposed to be done. I said, oh, okay. Ladies, her hair was down here. I cut it all off. This short on top of her head, up over the ears. The only thing that was long was at the nape of her neck. We called it the veil cut. It's a beautiful haircut. I tapped her on the shoulder and I said, I'm done. And I waited for her to have a heart attack and try to sue me, right? A woman with the hair, guys, you gotta be careful. You mess it up, you can get beat up right on the spot. Truly. Especially with our sisters, right? I gave her the mirror and she looked at it. I turned the chair around and this beautiful face looked up at me. She said, this is the best haircut I ever had in my life. I said, what? Do you like it? She said, it's fabulous. I love it. I got to get to know this girl. Long story short, this young lady led me to Christ. 21 years old. She didn't know the scripture to give me, but she had a born-again, spirit-filled experience that I was attracted to. My business partner, Raphael, was from Italy. His wife, Sonia, was a Jewish from South Africa. And we were buddies. And he couldn't understand why she would come back every week. She came back every week to see me, to talk to me. I thought, so I'm going to get it on, right? That wasn't the reason she came back. She wanted to get to know me and talk to me. She would buy conditioner and shampoo and take it home and flush it down the toilet. So she could come back the following week, a couple days later. She led me to the Lord, long story short, and I accepted the Lord, and I started to go to a church in Atlanta. Wasn't like an Adventist church. Mount Perrin Church of God. Listen, they get down. They even raise their hands. Hello? You don't see that a lot, right? And I got into it, but I was there for a little while, and I said, you know, this is a very emotional place. I want to see more depth in the scripture. And I was thinking, I might not stay here. She calls me up one day and said, I mean, this cute little voice, you couldn't resist it, southern accent. Hi. I said, hi. Can you come to church with me this Sabbath? I said, what are you talking about? That's our day. It's my day. I'm Jewish. Is there Christians that worship on Sabbath? She said, come with me. Yeah, okay, I gave in. Marietta, Georgia. Seventh-day Adventist Church was a funeral parlor compared to where I was going. Worship was opening and closing hymn. So I sat there and I asked her, when are they going to worship? She said, they already did. I said, what? It's opening and closing hymn. What the heck is that? I am not coming back. No, this is how the Lord works. I was leaving. I said, forget this, man. I'll stay at the other place. At least they raise their hands. And they say hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah, right? So on my way out, somebody grabbed me from behind by the arm. And it felt such a strong grip that I think I was going to turn around and see Arnold Schwarzenegger holding on to me. It was so strong. This little old skinny man with white hair, his name was Elder Roy Fickling, a retired pastor from England. and he had that beautiful British accent. Now, this is, golly, 48 years ago. I was young, and like I said, I was pretty cute. The funniest comedians are Jews and Italians, so they have to get used to this. He said, why are you leaving? I said, sir, this is a funeral parlor. I don't stay in funeral parlors. This is boring. And he got me immediately, sat down with me, and he said, you don't have to come back here anymore, but would you come home to lunch with me? Smart. Come out to lunch, and we'll talk. I went to his house, and he was the one that brought me through theologically into the message. You have a message. You have a message. I'm not playing. You have a message. It's more powerful than any other Christian theology. But you know what? A lot of times Adventists, they dwell on the theology and they forget about Jesus. When I came into the church, people would say, when did you come into the truth? I thought they were talking about Jesus. No, they were talking about the theology. I've been all over the Adventist world, all over it. And so I went to Elder Fickling, and he started, what subject do you possibly think he started out to study with me? The particular study with somebody that was Jewish. What would you study with a Jew? The sanctuary, the Mishkan. And he had a book that he gave me, written by a Jewish man who was an Adventist, came into church in 1890 from England, F.C. Gilbert. Anybody ever hear that name? F.C. Gilbert was a genius in the scripture. He was a Jewish man. He worked with Ellen White a lot until the day she died. Practical Lessons for the Church of Israel. If you ever get it, I have an original copy. It's like $700 to $800 to get a hold of this book. The denomination should reprint it in paperback. It's amazing. It takes you through Christ in the Jewish economy from A to Z. The sanctuary, all the festivals, and the feasts. You know what I found out? The three fall feasts in the fall. The trumpets, the atonement, and the tabernacles, listen carefully, match the three angels' messages in Revelation. It's a spiritual match. They open it up for you. And Passover matches with the fourth angel in Revelation 18. Come out of her, my people. So the deeper you and I go into the Hebraic roots, the more your Christianity is going to get better and better and better. I believe, I said this to a lot of people, I believe Ellen White understood. You know how I believe that she was inspired? Somebody gave me two books to read one day. Acts of the Apostles and Evangelism. You got those books? You got a lot of them, don't you? That's a lot of dust, right? Read them. Read them. I'm telling you the truth. You know it's the truth. And one of the things she wrote, I memorized them all, but this was the big one. She said, men like Paul, mighty in the scripture, are going to come to proclaim the immutability of God's law with power in any language under the sun. They're brilliant guys. The black coats, you see them? The Hasidic Jews. They have Old Testament memorized. No? But the guys back in time, long ago, stuck 613 extra laws on the people and wound them tight and controlled them that way. Do you know that? Then, and you and I both know, this 30-year-old young man came on the scene. Jewish. So I'm in pretty good company. He died a Jew. He was born a Jew. He was raised a Jew. He died a Jew. And he was erected. He wasn't Chinese. Amen? And he's in second apartment right now, the most holy place, as our high priest. And so the idea, we're going to look at Psalms 91. The idea for you and I is to be in second apartment spiritually daily. You cannot pray like she did if you're not in there. It's not Dion. The power that she gets and second apartment spiritually infuses that type of prayer in people. Now you're getting quiet, right? Because I'm getting serious. Psalms 91, safety of abiding in the presence of God. Now, pay attention to the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. No, back to that. What is the secret place it's talking about? You tell me, scholars. What's the secret place it's talking about? Hello? The most holy place, the Kodesh Kodeshim. That's the secret place. So we are to be spiritually locked in there on a daily basis. What do you get when you lock in? You get what you heard in prayer. You get. You can pray, maybe not as well, but you can pray, right? This woman is locked in. You get to know her and you gotta admire Dion. You see, when I learned I was gonna speak, thank you again, Pastor, maybe another time again. That's a hint. I text Dion and I said to her, oh, you gave me a thumbs up when you texted me back. I was worried. Am I going to do this? And he went like this with a thumbs up. That's why I like him. I'm almost going to forget what I was going to say. No senior moments, please. Not up here. So, when you move spiritually in there, you receive power from on high, from the power of the cleansing blood. I do this every morning. I haven't stopped. I'm never going to stop until the Lord comes. I wake up 3 a.m. every morning. I don't have an alarm clock. I don't need one. I wake up and I say to the Lord, what do you want? What is it? What do you want me to do? Surrender. You and I have to die daily to self and selfishness and pride and ego and arrogance. We all have a little bit of it. Die. There's a song in Hebrew called Die Dieno. It's a beautiful song. Listen, when the Jews worship, we dance. Whoop, I'm an Adventist. I can't dance. What are you telling me? Messianic Jews dance to the scripture, the music. You ever see it or hear it? Beautiful music. Men with women, men and women with women, but they do dance. All you have to do, saints, is read Psalms 150, and it'll blow your mind. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him with music. Praise Him with the harp. Praise Him with the flute. Praise Him with the cymbals and loud clashing cymbals. Praise Him with a dance. You know, I've never seen Adventists dance, Elder. Did you ever dance, Pastor Rose? Did he? Is that your wife there? I thought so. He's being quiet. Dance is happiness and joy. Let's go to the next verse. I will say of the Lord, Adonai, He is my refuge and my fortress. You all know this. My God in whom I will what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And He will direct your path. Not you, not me. He's going to direct it. Let's go. Next one. Surely, here it comes, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, the enemy. He will deliver you if you surrender and you go to His secret place every day. I'm in there. As soon as I wake up, it's normal for me. I lock in. I don't get out of bed. 3 o'clock in the morning, where am I going to go? Can't even walk a dog at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I lay in there and I say, show me what's standing between you and I. And it's always about sin, right? But I go through something first. And when the Lord reveals it to me, I say, Lord, thank you for revealing this sin to me in my life. I ask you to wash it away in the blood of Jesus. And any and all evil angel casts it to the pits. There's a place you can cast. send them to. In some of the versions of the Bible, it's the deep. It's called the country, right? The deep, the country, whatever. But there is a place where they get locked up and they can't come out. And they don't like it. The demons pleaded with Yeshua, "We know who you are, Holy One of God. Do not send us to the deep, the country of the pit." So what did he do? Jesus has a sense of humor. You send him in a bunch of pigs. What did the pigs do? Over the cliff, and they were gone. Then he walked away. Mourning. If you do it this way, this is the way I teach it to people. Going along, he will customize it for you, because we're all different. But when you do this, when you're locked in a second apartment, your intercessory for other people is pretty powerful, very powerful, because you let self go, you've been washed in the blood, you don't feel anything. This is all by faith. And then I say, what fruits of the Spirit do you want to give me? And then it comes, faith, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, self-control. And I go around as much as the Holy Spirit puts me, maybe 2, 3, 4 times. Then I pray for other people. You know what happens? You're clear. The stuff around you that's been keeping you back, it's out of the way. Now, what I do with people when I meet them and they want to know and be taught, I ask them one thing at the beginning. How is your worship in the morning? I didn't talk about that this morning. How is your worship? What do you do in the morning? How long are you in your worship? They'll usually say, well, it's kind of weak. And sometimes, if they're honest, they'll say, I don't have a worship. Well, why do you think this is happening to you? Why do you think your marriage is strained? Well, I blame it on my husband. I said, you can't blame it on him all the time, right? It's a spiritual, biblical system that can take you through, and as you grow, it changes because you customize it for other people. Does that make sense? I'm telling you how I do it every day. Next verse. He shall cover thee with his what? And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a mother hen with her chicks, but you would not. Bring it up to modern times. What's your worship like? I'm being serious with you. What is it like? I can't get up early. I'm not an early riser. Ask the Lord to wake you up and watch what happens. I wasn't an early riser until I said, Lord, you got to wake me up. Bam, like an alarm clock. That's been many, many, many years now. Can you understand what I'm saying? I didn't do this at first service because there's a lot of you here. So there's a lot of problems. More than first service, right? Let's go to the next one. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies during the day. Satan loves to attack at night. They come out when it's dark, right? Light makes darkness visible. The more light you get in your life, the more visible is the enemy to you. You don't see them, but I've heard them. I got involved in California in the deliverance ministry that most Adventists were afraid of. A jewel of a retired pastor, he was Pastor Robert Gale. He was my teacher. And wow, I heard things that would blow your mind. I heard the demons speak out of people. But yeah, my name is pride, my name is ego, my name is arrogance. What do you think I do? I make them do that. How can Satan get into a believer's mind? This is the way he does it. He says to the person, I'll use myself as an example. He doesn't say, Michael, you're depressed. He says to you, I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm mad. And you believe it's you. When I was in New York pastoring, I'm going to tell you a little story. And when I was pastoring in Brooklyn, let me tell you something. I love New York. I got hit three cars. I lost three cars there. It's terrible. The best pizza in the world is in New York. Sorry. Anywhere you go. And I met a young Jewish man. His name was Mark. Because he had a girlfriend that was an Adventist. And what do you think she was doing? She was trying to get him, you know, converted. And we met, and he said, "You're Jewish. What are you doing as a minister? How do you do this?" I said, "I can't explain it to you right now. It'll take a long time." I got to know Mark. Brilliant, brilliant young man, 38 years old. He was an ex-Special Forces in the Army. You know what Special Forces? Like Rambo type of person. He was on a gun, helicopter gunship, and he manned the 60-millimeter cannon on their strafing villages. Do you know about Vietnam? Older people here? Strafing the villages, killing men, women, and children all over the place. He did that, and he was also called a tunnel rat, where they would send them into the tunnels with a knife, like Sylvester Stallone acts that way. This guy did the real thing, to bring the Viet Cong out. And if they wouldn't come out, he'd kill them in the tunnel. That's what he did. So he gets out of the Army, comes back to New York, and he told me this whole story. He started to get phone calls from the government. They didn't want to let him go because of his specialty that he did. And the phone call, he'd pick up the phone and it'd be Morse code, telling him where to go to meet them, to give them his assignment for the rest of whatever. And he'd go there, he'd go somewhere around the world. What do you think he did? He killed people. He'd come back, he tried to leave. It was like a movie. And they sent him out again. And he was tortured with that. He was guilty of all the people that he killed in the helicopter thing. And we were trying to bring him in, very smart. We planned on baptizing him. And during that time period, he tried to commit suicide three times. The demon said to him, "I'm depressed." He believed it. Mark wanted to go into nursing and go to school. He wanted to go to one of our schools. And the government wouldn't give him a loan. I don't know why. They can be mean, you know? And he was angry. He got very depressed. Long story short, he started to take a certain amount of drugs every day. He hung a suit on the door in his apartment. He got rid of his girlfriend to get away from him. I got a phone call one day, it was from his girlfriend. "Mark is gone." I said, "Where'd he go?" She said, "Pastor, he's dead. He died." I was crushed. I got so guilty of thinking I didn't do enough for him. I should have done more for him. He's gone, 38 years old. Until she called me 2 days later and she said, "Pastor, the police found a note in his wallet." I said, "What did it say?" She said, "I want you to listen, saints. Dear Jesus, I just wanted to love." Do you hear that? And the Lord said to me in my spirit, "Do not ever make your mind up about somebody that does this that they're not going to be with me. You don't know what happened at the last moment. His last moment is, dear Jesus, I just wanted to love." Now I believe I'm going to see him. He would have been 71 years old. He's gone in a flash. How many things have you read about that with people killing themselves? Fentanyl, the drugs. Fentanyl, you don't say, "Oh, I need some fentanyl." It puts a thought in your mind, "I need some fentanyl," and you believe it's you. And what happens? Fentanyl is deadly dangerous. Understand? Let's go next one. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. Next one. 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near us. Us. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Be clean vessels of the Lord. Be you clean. I'm talking about me too. The more cleansing, and you get the cleansing in the second apartment. You don't get it anywhere else. The second apartment experience is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You don't hear this a lot in the Adventist Church. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the only spiritual power that will change your character. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The evangelicals out there have a counterfeit. Speaking in tongues is the result. No, it's not. Speaking in tongues is not. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of character change. Because when he comes, we will see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Character. It's all about character. Theology won't save you. You know that. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus will save you. I've been in situations where we're praying for people and I would hear wild things out of their mouth. When the demons are ready to come out, they start to talk. You don't have a conversation with them. They only understand command, just like Jesus in the Bible. But we had a guy in California, a young guy in dental school. I never saw anything like it. His wife brought him to the pastor. I was there. I saw it. He was a kleptomaniac. He went to stores like Home Depot or Lowe's. He couldn't resist taking hammers and screwdrivers in his pocket, and he'd walk out. He didn't need it. He had money. I saw him delivered. It was a demonic spirit. What was his name, do you think? Kleptomaniac. It was his name. They take the name of the work they do. I make them angry. I break up marriages this way. I make them husband have an affair. That's what they make you do. Making you think it's you thinking the thought. You got it by now? Hello? You know, you can say amen, even hallelujah, if you want to. I mean, you can even raise your hand. Come on. I'm waiting. Let's go to the next one. Only with your eyes shall the... This is King James. Oh, gosh. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's coming. You're going to see. These demons know they're going to the lake of fire. They know. And they're doing as much work as they can before it happens. They know they were defeated on the cross. They know. They're very much afraid of the angels. There's been many times when I've been in an experience with people that the demons speak out and say, get them out of the room. They're too big and they're too bright. They're talking about angels. You don't see them. The evil spirits see them. They're bright and they're big and they're really strong. What was in the Old Testament? One angel destroyed 180-some thousand Assyrians overnight. What's a whole battalion of them going to do? Angels, you know, you have these extra writings from the nice lady, right? 66 books or whatever it is. There's stuff in there that you won't find anywhere else. Desire of Ages, Thoughts from Man of Blessing, Ministry of Healing, Evangelism, Acts of the Apostles, The Great Controversy. It's now. The time is now, brothers and sisters, to become like Jesus, character-wise. You can't do it yourself, only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? Because thou made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. Habitation is second apartment. You don't see anything. You're in there in the spirit, and you're just allowing the Lord to cleanse you. Thank you for showing me the sin in my life. A lot of times you already know it. I repent. Wash me in the blood, and any and all evil angels cast into the pits, and you get clean. The key is not to go back, because they'll come back 7 times stronger. I've seen that. Dangerous. Next one. For he shall give his angels, charge over thee to do what? To keep thee in all your ways. People that pray with me, they hear me say, send angels excelling in strength with fiery swords above me, below me, front, back, left, and right. He hears it all the time. That's my friend G. Ask for them to come, and they'll come. And they'll gather around and protect you. The Jews on their doorposts, they put what they call a mezuzah. You ever see it? It's on the doorpost. And inside is scripture from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all our hearts, our soul, and our might. And you know what it says in Deuteronomy 11, I'm sure? If you do this, I will give you the early rain and the latter rain. Early rain's been done. Latter rain is coming down now in bits and pieces daily. Do you believe it? For those that want it, it's coming down now so that when it comes full force, it's not going to scare you. Ellen White also wrote, when it comes down, a lot of people in the church are going to call the other ones fanatics that are enjoying raising their hands finally, thanking the Lord, because it's all going to come down. And we're going to have all kinds of people come in and say, what are you going to do on Sabbath if 50 Jews dressed in black, the way they look, come in, happy, joyful, smiling, and they're going to ask you, tell us about your Jesus, because they're going to know everything else. They got the whole Old Testament right up here. They want to know about Jesus. But as it is right now, they will kill somebody like me when they find out a Jew accepted Christ. They call us in Hebrew meshuvit, which means traitor. I suffered a lot. In the beginning when I came into the Lord, I went through so much. My father wanted to kill me. They wanted to Baker rack me and put me in a psych ward, and I got out of town. That's when I left and went to California. They think you're not anymore. But you know what? When you're Jewish and you find the Lord, you're more Jewish than you ever thought you would be. They call us completed. We're not better than anybody else, but all the questions I would ask the rabbis got answered when I became a believer. Then I got amongst the Adventists. I lived in Loma Linda for almost 10 years, and I said to myself one day, oy vey, you know what oy vey means? Oh no, these people are just like us. These Adventist people are just like the Jews. The biggest difference, they have Jesus and the Jews don't. They had trouble with their kids leaving, being rebellious and all that. I saw it. I had a hair cutting salon in Redlands, California. It was called Revelation Hair and Skin Care. I had a prayer room. I did nurses from the hospital, kids from the schools. I would get a doctor in that said, I was cutting his hair one day, if I remember. He said, people tell me you're religious. I said, I'm not. He said, then what are you? I said, I'm a spiritual person. Religious people are the ones that beat you on the head for dressing the wrong way. Oh, see what happened? Do you have this in your mind when they come up? Because, don't leave me alone here. I'm not even halfway through this whole thing. Next one, if there's a next one. Oh, I got 18 seconds. Oh, my gosh. And thou shalt tread upon me, lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall trample underfoot. Next one. Love? What's that? Yeah, I didn't know that. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he had known my name. Yeshua is his name. Yeshua means salvation. Every time you see the word salvation in the Old Testament, it says Yeshua in English. Jesus in English. Well, we're going to stop with Psalms 91. I want to go somewhere else. Can I go a little longer? Am I going to get in trouble? I don't think so. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. If we can put that up there, and I'll go through it fast. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on what? the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's who you're wrestling with. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about you in truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of Yeshua, you see it? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me and you, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known what, saints? It's all about the gospel. I'm going to say one more thing and I'm done. Go. You know, I mean, I'm an experienced pastor, but that made me nervous they all came out. Especially you. I know you're laughing. No, her. Listen to this, and I'm going to stop. I didn't do this in the first service. I had to move real fast. On the Day of Atonement, when the high priest, this is in the rabbinical writings, came out of the most holy place because he had a rope around his ankle to make sure if he died, they pull him out. He comes out, and how big was this congregation? A million people? He comes out, and he utters the unutterable name of the Father. Yahweh. 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 And they fall prostrate on the ground. Yahweh, God the Father. Yeshua Mashiach, God the Son. The Ruach HaKodesh, God the mighty Holy Spirit, commander of the battle. Does that get to you? I want you to raise your hands with me. Come on. And say it with me. Yahweh. 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 We want a revival in Plantation. Give us what we need. The blood of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh, my Father. Yeshua Mashiach, God the Son. The Ruach HaKodesh, God the mighty Holy Spirit, the commander of the battle.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.